Welcome to We Are Libertarians. My name is Chris Spangle, and we are live on location in New Orleans. I almost forgot where I am because all these convention sites all look the same, and you never know where you're at. I imagine if you did this every weekend, like you work for the Charles Koch Institute, and your job is events, and you're going to every Hyatt Regency on the Eastern Seaboard, you lose track of where you're at. But I am in New Orleans at the National Libertarian Convention. It's been a very fun weekend. I've had a really good time, and we have done all of the interviews. We're just kind of setting them up here, and I am joined by three folks. First and foremost, Reinhold, welcome back. How are you?
I am doing well.
All right, good to talk to you. Ryan, how are you?
Doing awesome.
Ryan Graham from where?
Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm the vice chair of LP Georgia.
Okay. LP Georgia?
Yep.
Wait a minute.
We don't talk to him anymore, so okay. Don't worry about that. He's not in communication with us.
You know,
not involved in any way.
I had to talk to Bittner last weekend. It was terrible. It was so bad. And then pounding a bottle of wine is Kristen from where?
Texas.
Well, got to hold it like
Sorry.
This.
Sorry, yep, Texas.
There you go, Texas. And you have been such a help to me, Kristen. You've been a great personal assistant this weekend.
Without
even me asking you to be my personal assistant, I'm just like, I need water. And then all of a sudden, a bottle of water would show up. What is it like following me around on a daily basis?
Oh, it's like wrangling a child sometimes.
Right.
It's like, hi, we have to do this right now. So, you know, I have to have it this close to my mouth.
Close.
This feels really uncomfortable.
So
I love that mic.
Pretend it's a bottle.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I could pretend. That makes sense. Okay. It's like wrangling a child.
Right.
So I have to, you know, look at the clock and show you and say, you know, look, it's 3:57, so we have to start moving in this direction.
How long does it take me to get anywhere?
I would say a good 25 to 30 minutes is a minimum.
Like, I'm a baby. It's what it is. I'm a giant baby. And so she has helped keep me on track here. I've been talking to a lot of people. I'm a social butterfly, aren't I?
Yeah, for sure.
You are an introvert. You don't get it.
No, I'm not introverted.
You're not?
No, I just don't know these people.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm learning. I'm taking it all in.
This is your first convention, right?
Yes.
Reinhold, how many for you?
This is my first.
First convention?
After, yeah. Even since 92, this is the first time I've made it to convention.
What happened in 92?
Well, I mean, since 92, it's just always there's always been work involved or some family thing. Or
oh, you're saying
else.
Since you joined in 92?
Yeah, I joined in 92.
Okay,
and this is the first time I've been able to make it actually to the convention.
Okay, because I don't know about you, Ryan, but I thought he went to the convention in 92 but got too drunk to go to it.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. It doesn't sound all that unreasonable actually being here now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Last night was pretty rough.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was.
How about you?
It's my first convention as well. I was involved in the party back in 2016 when we did the Orlando one, but I didn't bother coming to the convention.
Right. So let's start with you, Ryan. Let's go down the line. What are your general impressions of it?
Oh, man, I was really worried that this was going to be a complete shit show. Are we cussing on this now?
Go for it.
Okay, cool. I was really worried this was going to be a complete shit show, and I was a little worried whether or not I wanted to even come. But it is awesome being in a place with so many people who agree with you, and seeing such a massive group of people that are mostly on your side. That's
mostly
right.
On your side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the record, rent is not theft, and
no, it is not.
Private property rights are totally a thing.
Even
so,
if you totally make good points in the beginning.
That's right. So whatever you heard coming out of this convention, those are still standard libertarian views. but yeah, it's been fun.
So what about you, Reinhold? What you know, you like, you're my LP historian. I'm just so surprised that you've never been to a convention.
I've never been. I've watched a lot of them on TV, and we'll have to get Christy.
Yeah, Christy Avery just came in.
I'm her biggest fan.
but yeah, it's I've watched them, but it's a difference between when you watch them on the live feeds or on the C-SPANs, you're only seeing the room.
Right. Right.
You're not seeing all the stuff that's going on outside and all the people talking and the discussions and the backroom deals and everything else that happens. So experiencing that was the best part of it
right.
for me. So,
yeah. I have found that this convention more than any of the, I don't know if it's four or five. I think it's four. This has been the one with the most new people. Like, even more than most of the time, the off year, the non-presidential convention, because they're every 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years from now, it'll be in Austin, Texas. And what I have found is that you get a lot of new people in the presidential year, but not even that many, just because a lot of people aren't kind of activated yet by the presidential campaign. That happens later through the summer. But there are more new people at this convention than I can remember. And to be honest, I think a lot of it has to do with Joshua Smith. Like, Joshua Smith traveled to over 20 conventions, and really, when I talk to delegates, you'll hear through this interview, a lot of people were very excited by Joshua Smith. Now, he didn't win chair. It ended up, Nick Sarwark got reelected at 65%. We're recording this on Monday night of the convention. It is day 3 of business. Tomorrow's the 4th and final day, and we'll find out who the vice chair, secretary, treasurer, at-large, and the rest of the business will be closed. Well, I will be leaving in the morning, so we're recording this tonight.
Josh Smith is actually running for at-large now, too. He's announced.
Yeah, then I'm sure he will. And
I'm sure he'll probably win, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very opposed to him being chair, but I would stand up and nominate him for at-large,
right.
Probably.
Absolutely. His passion seemed to be really important.
But I don't think it's all that, either. I think a lot of it has to do with the 2016 campaign and all the people that Gary Johnson reached, too. There are a lot of people who are here because of Gary Johnson bringing them into and showing them that there was an idea other than what they were used to with the left and the right.
One very prominent libertarian... What was that?
Can you explain what at-large is?
Yes. So at-large is when the body votes in at-large representatives to the actual convention. Sidling up to me is the lovely Christy Avery. Christy, how are you doing?
Hi. Wow, shove that big thing in my face, will ya?
Oh, my. Wow. Somebody's ready for the gala.
Like her even
It got weird in here.
Somebody's drinking. You've been drinking since like 8 a.m., haven't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you had like, she's like, she texted me at like 8 a.m. and she's like, man, Mountain Dew and what is it? Mountain Dew and...
Cucumber lime vodka. And that's 9 o'clock my time.
Okay. And so Christy is ready to party. She's ready for the gala that's happening tonight. And so, you know, I think Joshua brought a lot of people. Now, if you're completely bored by Libertarian Party politics, then this episode's not going to interest you. We talked to several different people. Nick Sarwark. We talked to Matt Kunal. Help me, Reinhold.
Kunal.
Yes.
Yeah, Kunal.
I was saying Kunal, but I'm sure that's wrong.
I said it in the beginning of the interview.
Yeah, I was saying Kunal for a long time.
Just call him a communist.
Kunal, but now I guess it's Kunal.
Now,
great kid, wrong about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So Matt,
great speaker.
Yeah.
He's passionate and he's
totally wrong.
Not totally wrong.
Okay.
Wrong on one thing.
80
communism,
and he is a hard worker.
Right.
But he's for anarchism, which is good. He says, right. Get the anarchism, and then we can do our own thing, which everybody else says the same thing, too. But.
Yeah. So he reminded me a lot of James Neese.
Mm-hmm.
James is our very own
passionate.
James Neese, also a mutualist and also a shit poster. So with that, let's start with the communist. How about we start with the communist? And really, because I think this is the one interview out of all the interviews that I did that really kind of had some... value that I think if you're not necessarily, I'm posing for a photo, if you're not necessarily a Libertarian Party person, you'll find this interesting. What is Libertarian Socialism? That is the first question that I ask Matt. So check it out. All right, so how do you pronounce your last name?
Kunal.
Kunal.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a L at the end. It's somewhat silent. Kunal.
Okay. All right. I'm here with Matt Kino. Now, do you have a title? Like, what are you running? You ran for chair.
Yes.
You didn't succeed in that endeavor, but are you involved in a caucus? Are you head of an organization? Like, what's your title, I guess?
So I'm secretary of the Libertarians of Macomb County.
Okay.
I am a membership director for the LP Audacious Caucus.
Okay.
I'm a founding member of the Libertarian Socialist Caucus. We don't have leadership, though.
Okay, of course, right?
Obviously.
All right.
Yep.
And then
I'm also running for state representative, Michigan's 22nd district.
All right, so you're doing a lot.
Yeah, yeah, spread thin.
All right. I heard obviously you've been controversial in this convention, but the thing that I've heard most is I don't know what a libertarian socialist is. I'm not even going to listen to them, but then as I've talked to new delegates, as I've talked to a bunch of different people, they've been actually pretty impressed with you as you kind of explain what you believe and what a libertarian socialist is. What is it?
I mean, libertarian socialist is a large tent. It's really what we would call classical libertarianism. It stems from the Proudhon mutualism. It goes into the Bakunin, Bookchin, these kind of writers that were anarchists in the 1800s.
Let's pretend I know who any of those people are. Explain it to me. I, of course, know, Matt. But for those who don't know, explain like who those thinkers are and what their relevance is in your thinking.
So it really stems from a lot of Marx's writing. Marx's definition of communism was stateless, classless, and absent markets, completely non-hierarchical society. So there's a distinction now between a communist and an anarcho-communist or a libertarian communist. And that distinction is because of the means that we seek these societies.
Right.
So historically, we have like the Bolsheviks who, you know, had a pretty violent revolution, turned into a pretty totalitarian state in an attempt to impose communism.
Right.
Libertarian communists or anarcho-communists, we believe that abolishing the state, taking away the state's teeth, is the quickest way to reach a society that's absent aggression, absent coercion, absent hierarchy.
Right. So what does your end definition look like compared to, say, Murray Rothbard's and anarcho-capitalism?
To me, I mean, if you look at my pin here, I have a Make Rothbard Left Again, Rent is Theft pin.
Right.
And that's kind of leading to his confiscation and homestead principle.
Okay.
Where he basically says that a lot of the property that we see right now where it's held has been acquired unjustly. So that come anarchy, there's going to be some redistribution. But anarcho-capitalism still allows for these the accumulation of capital and the violent defense of it, where communism, being completely non-hierarchical, actually seeks the abolishment of scarcity. We want to see a society absent of competition and a society focused on cooperation. And we think that with automation and the technology of today, it makes it even easier, where every home could have a 3D printer, all the factories could be automated, work isn't necessarily required anymore. And if we just worked to just fulfill the needs of people as opposed to fulfilling the needs of ourselves for selfish reasons, that we could reach the society.
So what would give people meaning in that system? I mean, work does give people meaning. It does give people an identity. And you remove that. I mean, are you removing work altogether? I mean, through automation?
We do have the Abolish Work Affinity Group in the Libertarian Socialist Caucus. And what we mean by that is bullshit jobs. I don't know if I could cuss.
No, please, yes.
All right, yeah. So bullshit jobs that aren't meaning, that actually take away your ability to spend time with your family, to do your hobbies, to seek things that you think would help people, things that you would feel proud of to take part of, arts and things like that. So we want to see a society where, you know, yeah, there's going to be some necessity for you to use labor to acquire the needs that you need, but not as much as a system predicated on just selfishness, is our opinion anyways.
So would it be fair to say, you know, as in 200 years ago, you have to go chop down the tree, that's labor, but you're doing it to build your log cabin. You're not building log cabins for an employer.
Exactly. And nowadays we can 3D print a house. It's not even necessary to have a man go out there and cut down that tree, trim it into lumber, put the nails in, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we've got the technology that it's not required anymore.
Right. Now, I've always known socialism to be a form of government. How does libertarian socialism, how does that work together?
Socialism, it's the ideal that the workers own their means of production. And in socialist states, we see where the state is almost used as a proxy for the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the state is the one taking the means and distributing them. However, a libertarian socialist seeks to empower the individual, to give them the power over their labor. And that results in voluntary associations like work unions.
Right. Okay. Now, when you say there should be no private property, here's my problem with a lot of this. It seems antithetical to human nature. It seems that competition is a natural part of human nature. Violence, I would say, is a part of human nature. Obviously, you know, we want to curb violence. I think it's harder to be a libertarian and live by the non-aggression principle than it is to just give into your base nature. Do you disagree with that? Or because I look at your version of the future and I go, I just don't see that as a workable solution with the way that human beings are wired based on human evolution.
I think the to take that stance, you're kind of more basing it off of history, and especially recent history, because that's what's most present to us. I feel differently. I really feel like humans naturally want to help each other, but sometimes we're just too caught up trying to help ourselves survive. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you do have greed in this society, where greed is a destructive force.
Right. So if you remove that incentive structure for competition, for greed, for selfishness, then people will naturally appeal, they'll revert to empathy. Basically.
Yeah, and that competition structure is scarcity.
Right.
And money represents scarcity to me. We want to see money abolished. And so, I mean, all these things, these are things where our views align. End the Fed.
Right.
Of course we want to end the Fed. We want to end every form of right. currency as oppression. So.
Well, you struck me in the debate last night. Chris Thrasher looked at you and said, why are you here? And you said, because I don't believe in the government and what other party will have me. You know? And I thought that was very telling. And I think there is... I guess a lot of people have told me, as I've talked about the chair's race with delegates, and you've come up a few times, obviously. They say... Matt is willing to stand up there and be booed. I mean, you were heavily... You got the biggest crowd reaction of the night when you said... what did you say? Well,
rent is theft. And I might have got more boos than James Weeks did when he stripped.
Oh, yeah. When you said private property shouldn't exist, it was like, you know, you had unfurled a Nazi flag. I mean, it was that intense in the room. And people really respected that you're willing to stand up there and take that kind of basic negative social cue... For the sake of what you believe. I mean, why did you run for chair? Why are you willing to take that kind of abuse? Why are you here? You know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I explained during the debates, I joined this party for Gary Johnson in 2016, and I was a volunteer for him. And we helped build up the Macomb affiliate, and that was my entrance into the party. So I was pretty ignorant to the philosophies of libertarianism at that point.
Right.
And I fell into anarcho-capitalism for a little bit because that's obviously the most popular in the party. And I thought anarchy was such a great way, and I thought the philosophy was great, that I tried to reach out to other anarchists.
Right.
And those being left-leaning. So that was really the main goal, is I just wanted to grow the party with more anarchists. I wanted to get more people who don't believe in a government to get involved with our party, because I believe our party is the best vehicle for somebody who wants to see most, if not all, of the government abolished.
Right.
So the reason why I stand up here and take abuse, and online I take plenty of it too, is that I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the people that I represent. And granted, I only had maybe 6 actual libertarian socialist travel states to come here.
You got 13 votes.
yeah, they weren't from libertarian socialists, so I guarantee you that. Because we don't have that many numbers. We're not trying to take over, and we know that's almost impossible at this point.
Right,
and it's not even something we're looking for. We're just looking for a seat at the table.
You're only the second mutualist. James Neese, who is on our show. It ascribes to a lot of the same theories as you, although you never know where he comes down. He's a troll, but yeah. So you're trying to give voice to an ideology which is really the classic form of anarchism. You know, that first wave of anarchists like Emma Goldman really ascribe to what you're talking about.
Exactly. And you know, as far as like standing up there and taking the boos, I was smiling, and it wasn't because I was getting booed. It's because I saw those 5 people in the back that heard their views represented for the first time ever on a political stage.
Right.
And they were ecstatic.
Now, I have to be honest with you, and sorry if this is uncomfortable, but the other thing that people say is, I was really with him until. And there's always an until with you. There's always another, like, you or someone in your caucus does or says something that is audacious, that is over the top, And a lot of the things that you said in the debate, you know, they were like, I'm with him. And then you get into it with Joshua Smith, or there's a member of your caucus up front with a dildo. Like, there's things that people in your crowd are doing that turn off most of the body. Why do you do that when ultimately it keeps you from being taken seriously by a larger majority of people?
To me, the Libertarian Party isn't a large majority. We're a very minor party. So what we're doing is not so much trying to appeal to libertarians, because that's not a winning strategy. What we're trying to do is present a different image of the Libertarian Party to get people who do identify as we do and do have the values that we do to join and get active.
Right. But you could see why there'd be a lot of skepticism and asking people who, I mean, some of the complaints, I mean, I know there was the lawsuit threatened by Joshua Smith against you. I can't imagine that just came out of nowhere. There has to be something that maybe you personally or some of your supporters did to get it to that heated of a level. That's really what a lot of members rejected in this convention. Why do you think those tactics work? Why do you keep doing them?
I mean, honestly, if you look at the final vote, I think those tactics do work, because Nick Sarwak won by a huge margin in the first round. But as far as Joshua goes, when he first started his campaign for LNC chair, he campaigned on taking away our seat at the table. He was running on a purge narrative. And so it was really a defensive move for me to go, okay, I can't have a chair that's going to tell the people I'm trying to recruit that they aren't welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to me that I got out there and, one, stood up for our ideals, but also made sure that we really look at who we're electing. And when it came to Joshua, it was really just his record. He had no history in the party. He had a really sketchy history personally and financially, where he was just not a trustworthy person. I wouldn't have gone at him if he wasn't running for chair, and that's where he feels that it was blackmail. But I think he's just new at politics, and he doesn't understand the scrutiny that a candidate will go through.
Right. So you don't ascribe to the theory that that we should strive to be better in politics and be kind. You can present some of that information in maybe a way that is a little more constructive. I mean, that when I watch this campaign and I watch the debate and I watch sort of what you two have done back and forth, I go, there's more constructive ways of doing this than maybe just kind of leaking stuff on Facebook.
I'll be honest, part of my strategy in opposing Joshua was to get him to be himself. And I knew he would be easily goaded, because that's who he is. And he didn't have the demeanor. And I knew I could get that out in the public and have him take himself down, basically.
Right. Well, based on that performance last night, I mean, there's some fair strategy there that seemed to work. I mean, he's been prickly. But you want to talk about empathy. I feel empathetic towards Josh, because I understand that the temperature was so high. By the time you get to a convention, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, this is my first national, but I've been to three state conventions.
So this is my fourth or fifth. And, like, the temperature gets heated up and heated up and heated up, especially when you're in a campaign, and I'm sure you felt that. And so it is. It's very easy to get very overwhelmed by that, and it is. But I can see your argument that if you're chair, it's not like it's going to get better. You know, if you win chair, it's going to be – you're going to keep taking some of those slings and arrows.
Yeah. And I can't imagine what 2 years of Joshua will have looked like with what we've seen just from this campaign.
Right. Okay. Enough of that. All that's over. I mean, so moving forward, how are you guys going to move forward? How are you personally going to move forward from here within the Libertarian Party?
I was honestly really looking forward to this being over. Not necessarily the convention. I'm having a great time. But I have a state rep campaign that I've been really neglecting for this chair campaign, which wasn't a real campaign. I wasn't running to win. I was just running to represent minorities.
Right. So when you go out and you talk to voters, how do they respond to your message? Because I'm sure you're not watering it down.
No. But you know what? I don't want to say I'm a salesman, but I usually know who I'm talking to. I know what points are going to resonate, especially when, you know, I'm talking face-to-face with people, knocking on doors, things like that. I can usually get through to them on points that I know that they might be sympathetic to.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for joining me.
Thanks
for explaining libertarian socialism. There's a fair bit of confusion in my audience. So, and you actually were in our group for a while, and you're like, why don't you have me on your show instead of picking on us, which is a fair point. So I'm glad we finally were able to do that, and appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
As we said, the race for chair was very contentious, and it was down to Nick Sarwark, who is running for an unprecedented third term. He ended up succeeding in that. Matt Canoe, we're just going to call him Matt Canoe, who you just heard from. It's no disrespect.
I don't think he would care.
No, you have to understand. I'm very bad with names. Right, Gary? No, that's Ryan. I'm so sorry.
Rude.
So, thank God for the name tag. Then also,
you know, I only donate monthly, so.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Thank you so much. I know, I feel bad because Jeff Mata, a friend, put me in a Facebook group. J. Mark English, the wonderful Mark, set me up in a group with Jeff Mata, and he goes, "Hey, my friend Jeff's going to the convention. You should get to know Jeff." And Jeff's like, "Hey, Chris, nice to meet you. I'm a Patreon subscriber." I'm like, cool, man. Nice to meet you. It's always very odd. I'm a terrible, terrible host. I apologize so much. So, and we got to talk to Jeff. We had a libertarian meetup. Jeff came by. You guys all came to the libertarian meetup. It was a lot of fun. The We Are Libertarians crew, Christy Avery, has had a lot of fun this weekend.
I believe we have, yes.
All right. I was looking for more, but what?
Good food. I don't know. That's about it. I haven't. I didn't make it to the karaoke party. I heard that was pretty lit.
Yeah.
How many? It was Texas.
Is this your second convention?
My third national.
Okay. So how is this different than the other conventions?
It seems more laid back. And Nick is definitely good at organizing. That was something big in Orlando two years ago.
Yeah. I found the... What did you think of the chairs debate? Mm-hmm. The chairs debate was really contentious. But it was also... You are groaning. Why are you groaning, Kristen?
Because I fell asleep at the last 15 minutes. It was awful.
But you had a nice place to fall asleep.
Yeah. I know. Your shoulder was very comforting.
Yes. So, Kristen, you didn't really know any of these characters running for chair, did you?
No, not at all.
What were your impressions of the four of them? I guess I should say Chris Thrasher also jumped in at the last minute.
Do you really want to know my impressions?
Yes, I do. So let's start with Nick Sarwark. What did everybody think of Nick Sarwark starting with Kristen?
I thought Nick was very well-spoken. I thought he sounded like the most like an adult.
Right.
When he spoke, I was like, okay, he's definitely got his shit together.
Yeah, that's probably why he won by 65%. did you have a pick? You have a Stick with Nick sticker on you, so I imagine you did have a choice.
Yeah, I came here undecided, and my partner actually came here looking to vote for Josh Smith, but I actually went to an LNC meeting for the first time and saw him command that room, and then saw him command the room at the convention as well.
Meaning Josh or Nick?
Nick.
Okay.
And he just dominated. I mean, he just handles this crowd, and we are a tough crowd to handle.
Yeah,
and he handles it with ease. It's like silly how well he does that. And my partner ended up coming out of this saying, you know, I'm sorry about the Josh thing. It's all Nick all the way. And he just and at the debate, he basically talks circles around all the other candidates.
Right,
above and beyond the best candidate. So
yeah, Reinhold, you were a Nick guy from the beginning, right?
I was a Nick guy just because I know what he brings to running the business of the party.
Right.
And he's got a firm grasp on that, and he can herd the cats, and he knows what he's doing. And none of the other candidates, I felt, had any ability to do that. So.
Yeah.
But I think he proved it. What I saw in that debate, though, is one thing I do want to talk to Nick and say to him is that I think we want to see more of that throughout the 2 years and between
more of
the campaigns, the fire, the
passion,
the let's go get this done. Let's the inspiration that he creates during that. When he gets up there and he speaks like that, it's amazing because everybody, even his opponents, will get fired up about
right.
it because he's saying everything right. And he's doing it in the right cadence, right tempo. And then the year goes by and he'll put out a nice little hi, this is a message Facebook post, but there's no passion anywhere.
Right.
And we just want that more often.
Right.
Except every 2 years.
He was largely seen by the body as a good functionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he won because he was good at being a good functionary. But I think the popularity of Joshua Smith and Austin Peterson 2 years ago show that people want some passion. And I think you see the electorate and even the Libertarian Party moving more towards populism in some ways.
Yeah.
Who did you vote for? Who were you supporting? And what did you think of Nick Sarwark?
Well, we can answer that with like one answer, because I was always a Nick supporter. That didn't change with the debate. I could see Josh and Canoe just going at each other, and I've followed some of it on Facebook, unfortunately, because it's just insane. You can't escape it. It's if you're on Facebook, you saw it, and it's just ridiculous because it doesn't help the party at all.
I think this was definitely the most dramatic of the conventions that you and I have attended. I didn't go to 16, and that seemed pretty dramatic, but this was the most immature of the conventions between Matt supporters and Joshua supporters, but mostly Matt supporters. The Audacious Caucus, you know, as I asked him earlier in that interview, was just obnoxious. Really turned a lot of people off. So Nick ends up winning, and as a result, his prize for winning chair is that he gets to be interviewed by me. And so,
it's worth it right there.
Well, this was a fun interview. Because,
thank you, dear leader.
Yes, you're welcome. I have provided you generously and thoroughly. So, a listener, I wish I had his name. I'm so sorry if you are the person listening. Sent me 500 dear leader business cards. Did you all get your business card?
It's ridiculous. There's
They're
no
right
contact information.
In like,
what does it say?
Generous and thorough.
It says, Chris Spangle, dear leader, generous and thorough. That's all it says. There's nothing else on it. You were so confused when I gave it to you.
Thanks, Chris. I got it. That's cool.
I will have to post a...
You know, I wasn't sure until I got the business card, but now I do know that you are, in fact, generous and thorough. So, you know, it's good clarifying.
It's blank on the back, so you can get his autograph there.
Right.
His phone number.
It was...
Because remember, he's single, ladies.
When I opened it, I laughed so hard because it is. It's the exact
or
type
guys,
of...
Or guys, don't be...
Oh, yes.
Don't be generous.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. I am thorough.
Okay.
That means all the genders, even water
I mean,
queers.
If you're down for that.
I don't know if water queers is a gender, but let's say it is. Nick basically, it was right after the convention. He's taking selfies with Sarwark. And so I'm like, you got 10 minutes? He's like, do you mind if I do the interview while I'm changing into my tux? It's like, not a problem. So I started the interview right there in the lobby. We rode up the elevator doing the interview. We walked to his room doing the interview, and we got into his room. And then the interview had to stop. And
what kind of underwear does he wear?
I was going to say the same thing.
I did not see. He was courteous enough to go around the corner. He and I kept chatting. But it is funny. The part of this in the elevator,
right?
Like people are chit chatting. Like there's not an interview going on. There are some chit chat, but it was funny. All right. So with that, here is the chair for the next 2 years of the Libertarian Party nationally. It is Nick Sarwark. Busy day?
It's been a pretty busy day.
I'm here with Nick Sarwark, the newest chair of the National Libertarian Party, but the old chair, too. It got to be nice to get reelected by 65%.
It was nice to be reelected. It's actually the first time that anyone's been chair of the Libertarian Party for 3 terms.
It seemed, I don't know how you felt about going into it, but it seemed like you probably were going to win, but it didn't seem like a 65% win. What do you think changed?
I don't think a lot changed. I was pretty confident, as your listeners may not know because this isn't video. I'm wearing a shirt that says I won the Libertarian National Convention chairs race that I ordered ahead of time.
Confidence is not lacking in the Nick Sarwark. Now, do you plan to be nice to Libertarian podcasters?
I will be as nice to Libertarian podcasters as I possibly can.
Always evading the question. I want an ironclad guarantee that you'll be nice to Libertarian podcasters for the next 2 years.
There are no guarantees in life, Chris.
All right, so what is the most important thing that you're going to do over the next 2 years?
The most important thing we're going to do over the next 2 years is we're going to have phenomenal election results in 2018 that will set records that we haven't seen going back to at least back over the last 15 years. We'll have more candidates running. We should be getting better vote totals. We intend to win a lot more offices. We have a full-time staffer, Apollo Pazell, working with selected candidates who are in strategically advantageous races, races where the old parties will not see us coming, where the application of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 in a race where they're not expecting us will cause us to get more elected libertarians who are elected as libertarians. And I think that is going to be the step that will get us to having better candidates seeking our presidential nomination, rather than trying to arm twist or recruit people who may not be interested in running for the presidential nomination. I feel that we need to build the party up to be such a political force that people are knocking on our door to join our tent.
So there's always been the ballot access strategy. Some people think that that is the main goal of the Libertarian Party. There's more over your term, over the last 4 years, I would say that the idea that we should support candidates first, there's a larger, there's a caucus for everything. There's a larger caucus for candidate support versus ballot access support. Obviously, you got to do everything, but you know, where do you think over the next 2 years the priorities will come down?
I think ballot access and candidate support go hand in hand. So we are working to make sure we're on the ballot in as many states as possible for our candidates to be able to contest elections. But if you look at candidate support across the country, candidates for Libertarian Party nominations for offices are getting an order of magnitude more financial support than they have gotten in past election races. So in races where they used to get
We're climbing into an elevator right now. He's a real pro, everybody.
In races where we used to get $5,000 or $10,000, we're getting $50,000 or $100,000. In races where we used to get $50,000, we're getting a couple of $100,000. In races where we used to get $100, we're getting thousands of dollars. That's happening everywhere, not just in special races, not just in targeted races. The appetite that the voters have for libertarians and the appetite that the donors have for libertarians is more than we've ever seen before in party history.
So Bill Weld seemed to be he's turning into a litmus test. There's like a mania that is starting to all of a sudden pop up around Bill Weld. That
seven. All right, that's me.
We gotta let people out of the elevator.
I know, yeah, I know.
I hope you don't cut.
No, I'm not cutting anything. I don't ever edit anything. It's great. So I'm actually going to help him put on his tux and interview him while we're doing that. So it's the only national chair ever to do an interview naked. It's like, except James Weeks.
He didn't ever get elected.
Oh, that's right. I was filming James Weeks. I was hoping he was not going to disappoint us, but he did. So Bill Weld seemed to be like a lightning rod, and there's a mania around him in some of the delegates that were here. And your answer, I felt, was very strong, and I really think in the delegation it was a... It was a moment that I think a lot of people went, all right, Nick's my guy. I mean, why do you think Bill Weld is a target, and what do you think Bill Weld's future with the party is?
So he's one of the most prominent people to ever join the party, run for office, and then, this is the very important part about it, stay in the party after the race.
Right.
This may have been the first... I don't know if it's the first or last, David Bowes said something on Facebook, but this national convention didn't have any former presidential candidates. It only had two former vice presidential candidates, Judge Gray and Bill Weld, both who ran with Gary Johnson. And so I think one of the things that's made Bill Weld the center of attention, both for positive and negative attention, is the fact that he's still here. Austin Peterson isn't the center of attention because he's gone. You know, Alicia Dern isn't the center of attention because she's gone. The people that leave aren't the center of the attention. The people who stay and still have political acumen and have that fame that comes from running for office are going to be the center of attention, both in speculation for running for higher office and the center of attention for people who don't like them. It's important. You know, there are a lot of people in the Libertarian Party that people don't like that they don't pay much attention to because they're unlikely to ever get nominated for the LNC or for a public office. Bill Weld is a political powerhouse, and so he's going to get that attention.
Right.
22?
Yep.
No, we're 27. Anybody?
We're 27.
27? Okay. What floor are you?
I'm 27, too, so we're going to just stop a couple more times.
Okay. you mentioned some of the things that Weld has changed on and also what he's done over the last couple of years. What were those?
So one of the dings on Weld was that when he was governor of Massachusetts, he had passed a bill that... restricted some gun rights, and you know, it's hard to judge laws that were passed in the 90s before Heller and McDonald versus Chicago regarding gun rights. But, you know, it wasn't, they weren't libertarian laws, that's for sure. In his debate answers in 2016, Weld talked about how he was a hunter and he had used shotguns and things like that. That's not really what the libertarian position is on the Second Amendment. Since the 2016 run and in talking to libertarians around the country, going to conventions, helping candidates, and just getting some of the feedback that our party members are so eager to give him, Bill Weld realizes that the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's about overthrowing a tyrannical government, and he's down for the cause. He's down for modern sporting rifles in a way that he never was before. So that's what I meant in my debate answer when I said that to the extent that Bill Weld is in the party still, he's not making us more like establishment Republicans. We're making him more of a libertarian.
So you're running for office at the same time. You're running for mayor in Phoenix. How's that going?
It's an excellent race. I don't know the exact numbers because I've been very focused on party business while I'm here, but my campaign manager, Evan McMahon, tells me that as of the June 30th filing deadline that we had for the campaign finance reports, we were within maybe $1,000 or $2,000 of our $80,000 goal for the first campaign finance period, which actually includes a donation from Bill Weld, who also endorsed me for the office.
So if you win mayor of Phoenix, are you going to continue to do both?
That's a choice I'm going to have to make at the time that I win, because right now I have a full-time job running a small business, my family's car dealership. I also have a family. I have the national chair position and the mayoral campaign. It may be that something has to give. I haven't decided what it would be, and it's hard to say because, like the business does, the mayor's office has a staff, the chair's office has a staff. So all of these are positions where it's more of an executive position with people who you can delegate to. So we'll just have to see what the rigors of the job and the requirements lead to.
All right. Thanks so much. I'm going to get out of here before it gets a little too racy. So thanks for joining me, and thanks for doing the interview, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you so much, Chris.
I think before we go, I need you to verify something, because a Creepertarian took a creep shot of you and I talking literally minutes before you went up. Were we or were we not talking about memes right before you tried to convince the delegates to vote for you?
We were talking about memes. I know that Dear Leader Spangle has the memes of production, and I wanted to offer him a peace offering of a powerful meme that I don't know whether or not he used or not.
I did.
That's the kind of inclusive person that I am.
All right. Thanks, Nick. So we are in Radio Row at the National Libertarian Party. We're just hanging out. And Arvin Vora, apparently, has been doing an interview. You guys said,
how long is that?
For like an hour. It's just some dude with like a handy cam.
And it's on its camera.
Yeah, we're not clear he's even press.
But I don't know. He doesn't have the official badge like Kristen.
If I walk over there, I could kind of get him to come over here.
Do you guys want to interview Arvin?
I have no problem interviewing him, because my take on Arvin is that I think he's really good at a lot of things, and he's got a great sense of libertarianism and everything else, and then he falls apart when he decides he wants to be audacious and get his message out there, and it's like, shut up. If you shut up, you would get reelected.
All right, let's vote.
Well, and Chris, you're not Cantwell, so I don't know if he wants to be on your podcast, right?
No, I think Arvin would 100% come over here if we wanted him to.
He says he won't say no, right?
He'll come over.
I know.
Here.
Yeah, Kristen is very effective. We can send the two ladies over there.
He probably lives for this. And that's probably why he's getting the attention that he wants.
Okay, that's.
I think let's do it.
So yesterday morning during breakfast, Kristen, who's new to all this and has a lot of questions, the first question was like, "What's up with the kid touching stuff?" I was like, "Man, I don't know. This is like five people in the party. Let's not. We all want to purge these people." All right, so what would we ask Arvin if we did an interview with him, if we talked to him? What kind of stuff?
When you lose, are you going to run for LNC at large?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he
Do you regret some of the things you've done?
Right.
That has cost you now probably winning the race?
So I think a lot of it is that here's the thing.
And what were you trying to get out of it?
Right. Meeting? Yeah. All right. What do you, Christy Avery? Your opinion is very important to me, and I mean that. Don't laugh. I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah, you're
I want to know what you think,
Christy.
You know me. I don't normally have strong opinions on things.
I know, but I want one from you.
I don't have it.
Yes or no?
I'm drinking too much. Yes. Yeah. Yes, you should do it.
All right. What do you think?
You're asking me what you should
Are you going to behave?
Do I ever behave?
That laugh happened with like a bottle of wine as she's like drinking it like from the bottle.
Right.
Yes, I will behave.
Okay.
Would you like me to go over there?
I
really don't have a problem interrupting, honestly.
I mean, wouldn't interrupt.
From
just,
this podcast.
Here's what you should do. Just kind of hover, okay?
Oh, yeah. No,
just
I,
kind
know
of
I know how to.
You like, know how to hover around men?
Oh, yeah. I got free coffee the first day I was here.
She
oh,
was.
Boy.
Listen to this. Kristen was so surprised the first day that she was standing there and a random guy offered her coffee. I go, you're a single female at a libertarian convention. The other funny thing that
she didn't have three marriage proposals by the time she got into the checkout.
There's a couple of friends who are here, and one of them was running the booth over here. The really pretty, she's like from Belarus.
Yeah, with the dog.
That's Martin Cowan. He's from Georgia. He's running for U.S. House.
Yeah, and
actually.
his assistant, he hired a person to work at the table. So I talked to her, and she's like, "Some men very creepy here." I was like, yes.
Yes, honey, we call them creepitarians.
Yep. The creepitarian effect is real.
All right, so Kristen, go over there and hover. All right, good luck.
She's now going
over
to hover.
Are we killing time while that happens?
No, yeah, we'll pad a little bit.
Okay.
We'll vape. It's just vape.
Let's vape.
In the meantime, while we wait,
pull out a cigarette,
let's
but
see,
that's not going to happen.
Let's see if we are able to get an interview. Let's see if we can score an interview with Arvind Vora. In the meantime, take a listen. So I was sitting there and innocently just live tweeting during the debate. And then all of a sudden I see a picture pop up on my phone from a listener, and it's a picture of Nick Sarwark leaning down next to me. And it's basically what I referenced earlier in the interview where he and I were talking about memes right before he went up to try and convince the delegation. And so Michael and another guy that I forget his name, but I say it in here. I'm very tired. It's been two very long days. This is a shit show and I apologize, but... in the meantime, let's talk to a couple of delegates from Arizona at their first convention. I'm here with a first-time delegate. What's your name?
Mike McFarland.
Now, you have been sitting behind me at the convention for how long?
Probably about an hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah, and you didn't come say hi. Why not?
You look busy. You know, you're
right.
Your leader. I can't just come up and bother you.
But you did shitpost pretty well. Nick Sarwark, the chair of the National Party, and he's probably going to be reelected. We're waiting for the results. Came up in the middle, right before his nominating speech, to give me meme advice, and that's not an exaggeration. So you took a photo of it. It's a very funny photo. it literally was. He was asking me about a meme. Priorities, man. Like, get elected chair, but number one is memes, right? What's your name?
My name is Nathan Andrews.
All right. Are you a first-time delegate, too?
I am.
Now, where are you two from?
We are both from Cochise County, Arizona. I'm the vice chair, and Mike is my chair.
Okay. All right, how's he do as chair?
He's fucking fantastic.
All right, good. I don't want you to disappoint me, all right?
He knows what he's doing.
Good. Now, what is your general impression of this? This is your first time at a convention. What do you think?
So, as far as organizing and the events going on, I think it's pretty awesome. Based on the lower level stuff I've seen with our state, it's pretty lackluster, low turnout, low enthusiasm. Here, everybody's a little bit more amped up, excited. You know, of course, you got your different camps and your different caucuses and everything, but I think the overall atmosphere is more positive than not.
Okay. What about you?
It's very different. I don't think any other political party's convention will ever touch the excitement, the strangeness that you see here at the Libertarian Convention. I think it's an experience that everyone should experience at least once in their life.
Define strangeness.
We got dildos being waved around in the air. I've been heckling pretty hard.
Are you shitposting the convention?
I am a shitposter. A little bit, yes.
Right. What have you been behaved?
I'd say for a libertarian, I've been pretty well behaved.
All right. Yeah. What's the thing that sticks out to you the most here, other than Star Child?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much to look at and so many things going on, and I'm trying to absorb it all. But I think the fact that we are as somewhat organized as we are.
Right.
You know, everybody jokes about herding cats, and you see a little bit of that, but generally the convention is moving along. People are kind of rejecting some of the sideshow stuff a little bit.
Right.
So I kind of like that. It's counter to the stereotypical libertarian kind of
right.
Stereotype.
Yeah. So what about you, Nathan? What stands out?
Ooh. Oh, there's a lot. We do have like the infighting thing going on. I think it's a big thing that sticks out is that we all come from a lot of different backgrounds and we have a lot of different opinions about things. We're very passionate about who we're following, so a lot of us are taking it personal. Which so
there's been a couple fist fights.
I heard that. I missed them though. So I don't know what happened with those or what they were over, but we can all assume what they were probably over.
Now, Michael. You mentioned that everybody's very positive. People constantly are saying, like, I'm not joining the LP because of the infighting. What gives?
I think the it's like a family. So, you know, you all see the pictures of, like, we're the reverse, though. Family projects, like, a nice Christmas card photo thing. But on the inside of the house, they're arguing over little petty stuff that doesn't really matter to anybody outside of that.
Right.
And I think we get to see that more than the outside world. And so we assume a little bit about what people perceive, you know, that we're like in real life.
Right.
But when we get together with events like this, you know, there's a little bit more, at least, I don't know, in my experience so far, is a little more hope about the future. You know, we are making some small inroads in different areas, and I think that's sort of palpable in the air, at least for me. Maybe it's just because that's my first time here, but
right.
People seem a little bit more positive about where we can go and what we can do because there's potential still.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to show up someplace where everybody's kind of like you and believes the same thing and you're not constantly fighting to
right.
get your point across.
Right. And I think part of it is social media allows a certain facade that you can be a little bit, or you feel like you have a little bit more moral licensing to be a little bit more nasty.
Right.
You know, because face to face, you can see eye movement, you can see body language, and so you can take something, someone can say something.
You can see a fat nerd weeping when you call him a fat nerd, and right to his face, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like, you can pick up, okay, what he's saying is this, it gives it more context.
Right.
So you're less likely to take offense to something. Matt is a pretty good example of that, being an ANCOM and everything.
Matt Keneal? I don't know how to say
that. I think he's
Matt K. The socialist, yes.
The socialist cat, yeah. I actually got a new respect for him because he stood up to a lot of criticism, which I'm sure he was expecting.
Right.
And it's different to be able to stand in front of a crowd of people and do that rather than just posting on social media about
right.
it.
I've heard a lot of that. I've heard people say, you know what, I thought he was a punchline, I thought he was a joke, but I was actually a little impressed with the libertarian socialist.
Yeah, last night during the debate, definitely he was kind of a joke to most of us in the audience, but when he came up for his nomination speech, I kind of liked his message that, hey, I'm willing to work together. I understand that we have different views about economy, but you know, these are things that we need to discuss, and that our main goal should just be that less government, keep the state out of your life.
I actually slept with that guy the other night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sharp dresser.
Shared a bed. I'm not gay. He was drunk. It's fine. So I'll explain that some other time. I have ADD, and my ADD here has been ridiculous. So, yeah, the libertarian socialist thing, he wants to end the state. I mean, you tell me, help me along here, but because I'm trying to figure out exactly what he thinks. But basically, it's that he wants to end all forms of government, and he believes that all forms of property and, like, basically, you own your labor. So when you go to work, then you get the value of all of that labor. It shouldn't go to a business owner. Basic communistic stuff. What am I missing about his argument? Because it basically, he ran for chair to promote his argument. And it sounds like it penetrated a little bit.
I don't know if the message penetrated, but the willingness to work together, I think, was the big part. Still, I think libertarian platform should include property rights. That's very important, as well as capitalism, because that's the way that we can keep innovation and keep the poor richer. I just think it's better. So, I mean, it's those are the big things, property rights and economic. Those are the big differences, but those are things that we can discuss.
Michael, what about you? What did you think of his message?
I kind of agree that it didn't penetrate as far as the philosophy, but I do think that his person penetrated the crowd. Well, That sounded a little bit innuendo-y.
Matt really penetrated the crowd, didn't he?
He was waving around a big dildo, so.
No, that was Jeff Wood.
I did see Matt with one at some point.
Listen, I'm from Indiana. Michigan libertarians, you stay away from them.
Yeah.
All right?
You should stay away from Michigan in general.
Now, continue on, yeah.
Oh, well, I think that people seeing the person in action and his willingness to continue standing up for his beliefs in front of a crowd that was pretty hostile, I think that earns you a lot of respect. Especially libertarians value a certain level of integrity.
Right.
And I think that despite the differences in opinion and in philosophical ideas, I think that it still means something.
Right. So who are some of the libertarians that you were excited to meet this weekend? Nathan?
Larry Elder. I mean, not Larry, but Larry Sharp. Sorry.
He's the other.
He is conservative. I just slipped up. I suck. Was happy to see Josh Smith again. Got to see him at the Arizona convention, so that was really nice. I was hoping to meet Eric July, but I was not able to. I thought maybe he'd be at some after parties, but nope.
He had travel problems. What about you, Michael?
Well, dear leader, of course.
Well, thank you. Yes.
But I was
Stop. No, continue.
Yes. But also, you know, Larry Sharp. Larry Sharp, I think, is, to me at least personally, is the image that we need to project more of. But also, you know, I don't want to discredit some of the other ones that aren't well known. Cass Jackson. You've got Matt Dumit. I think didn't make it this time, but you had some representatives from his campaign here.
Right.
Robin Kerner was here. So a lot of the people that I'm all about the positive messaging, the just moving forward, because you see that, I mean, it's almost an extreme nice stark contrast between the campaigns that are lackluster or they're all about just railing against the state, beating their fists against the podium,
right,
versus somebody whose their message is there is no them.
Right.
And that's his campaign slogan. Or Larry Sharp, which is just a whole, I mean, he's got a lot of different hashtags going, but
right,
it's resonating with the people of New York, with libertarians, with people that were disinterested in politics before. You see him picking up some of those.
Well, go ahead.
I think one of the important things about Larry Sharp is that he presents a lot of transitional policies, is what we need. We can't just like rip the carpet out from under everything. We have to work towards it. And I think he has a very rational step-by-step look at how to get to, you know, the world of libertarians and probably most everybody would be happiest in.
So you guys are you here because of Josh Smith? Would you say he was a big factor in you coming to the convention?
I would say he was a pretty big factor.
Yeah, I think he got me really passionate. I really liked the message that he had about, you know, improving the party. I'm pretty new to the party myself, but I don't feel like Nick Sorek is really taking us. We're also from Arizona, so we have a little, maybe a different experience.
No prophet is without honor, from if he's from his hometown or whatever the phrase is.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Nick. And Nick, keeping Nick isn't going to make the party worse, but we're not going to get better. And that's the problem. We need to go out there. We need to get members. We need to be able to present our message in a way that's people like to hear in a good way, like a good message, a good way to present our ideas that people can understand and don't get so upset about.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you being here. It's very nice to meet you. He and I talk all the time on Instagram. We share memes, which is the most intimate form of a relationship that you can have with a friend, is sharing memes.
Exactly.
So you always have the dankest ones, brother. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
A while back, I went on Jen Gray's podcast called Leading Liberty, which is a great podcast with a ton of tips on how to be a leader in the libertarian movement. And I talked about starting a podcast, and I talked about what it means to do a podcast for your state party. I've been podcasting for about 10 years now. I started I didn't start it. There was an Indiana Libertarian Party podcast, and Mike Cole had done it for a couple years. And he essentially just said, I'm tired of doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. And I had bought equipment because I knew I wanted to do a podcast. So I spent a ton of money. I actually took out an extension on my loan, like a home equity loan for your car, and then bought my first round of podcasting equipment. It was wildly irresponsible financially. But I was never in my 20s. I was very bad with money. So
I started the podcast doing the Indiana Libertarian Party podcast. And if you actually scroll back into the We Are Libertarians feed, you will hear a lot of those, like with Phil Skolzinski, Evan McMahon. And so that was the first taste of podcasting that I did. And we saw a ton of benefit from doing both the Indiana Libertarian podcast and then the podcast that We Are Libertarians puts out called Upward Training. And if you go to wearelibertarians.com, you can get that podcast feed where we basically have a ton of training tips. Basically, the feed wasn't being maintained by the Indiana Libertarian Party anymore, so I just took that over and kept all that material that we had put out years ago. And I mean, like 2010, 2011, but all the stuff is still germane and it's still out there, and I still will sometimes put some training materials via podcast form in the Upward podcast feed. As well as some stuff from Marshall Fritz, the founder of the Advocates for Self-Government. Marshall's the guy, along with David Nolan, who put together... Marshall put together the world's smallest political quiz. And David Nolan, the founder of the LP, and the Diamond, basically put together the Diamond, the basically the... Well, you'd get it. I mean, if you've seen the Axis, where it's personal liberty and economic liberty... And libertarians are at the top of that diamond. That's why we call it Upward, because we want to give you tips on training people how to move them upward. And Marshall Fritz, to start the World's Smallest Political Quiz and the Advocates for Self-Government, basically traveled around in a car all across the nation for a solid year in the 70s. And he'd basically hand out these hangers that he had made that said Marshall Fritz slept here. He basically drove in his car doing... outreach, Operation Politically Homeless outreach events with the Diamonds, teaching people how to use the world's smallest political quiz. And you think about the amount of people that have used that tool and the hundreds of people that he first interacted with to get this thing going, to turn the quiz into the great outreach tool that it is. Marshall Fritz, I think, is one of the most important people in all of the libertarian history. He's not like revered like Rothbard. He's not really well known. And so one of the things that I do is I have a collection of speeches, because I was the marketing director for the Advocates for Self-Government, and then Brett Bittner took over my job there, and then the organization completely shifted and moved to Sacramento. So Brett and I ended up with a lot of stuff that they just didn't want anymore, like audio and tapes and books and stuff. And so part of what I do is I like to keep track of that stuff, and I like to post Marshall speeches. A lot of it are still relevant and still useful, even though they were recorded in the 80s and 90s. He has since passed. I think he passed in 2008. But Marshall was just a giant. He was really one of the most important people in the libertarian movement and getting it going and getting steam. And he's just not talked about enough. So, you know, part of what I will always do with We Are Libertarians is honor Marshall Fritz, because I just fell in love with the guy and the way that he messages when I worked at the Advocates for Self-Government, and was just so influenced by him. So I will always strive to keep his name alive, along with Sharon Harris, the former executive director of the Advocates for Self-Government, and others. Just really important guy. So go check out some of those speeches. And if you go to the Path to Libertarianism at wearelibertarians.com, the first step is basically Marshall giving a presentation. He's just fantastic. And in the We Are Libertarians feed, you can get a What is Libertarianism speech by Marshall Fritz. So I highly recommend checking those out, because he just had a great way with phrasing libertarianism in an approachable, nice, polite, fun manner. So I talked about the effect of the podcast for our state party and how much it helped us with candidates and recruiting people and getting the news out. You know, state parties and libertarian parties and, you know, Democrat and Republican parties even, oh, they're not doing anything. It's a common refrain around any nonprofit or, you know, volunteer organization. They don't do anything. So it's hard to get your message out. But with a podcast, for fairly cheap, I mean, you know, $500 to $1,000, you can get podcasting equipment now. It's better than the $1,500 I paid, you know, 10 years ago when I first bought my set in 2008, 2008, I think it was, 2009. So it's much cheaper to do now. And this entire podcast that you're listening to was recorded on my Zoom H6 and, you know, and a couple microphones, and that was less than $400. And that's really all you needed to produce a high sounding quality podcast. So Sarah Wagner in North Carolina heard that podcast and decided to take the initiative and start her own podcast. And it has greatly helped the Libertarian Party of North Carolina. And I wanted to sit and talk with her. Sarah and her husband are like the two most adorable people you'll ever imagine. Like, if they both weren't so cute and sweet, like, it'd be annoying how much they love each other, but it was just adorable. They are, like, the two nicest people. They hung out with the other wall crew and I during the business on Monday, and we just had a great time talking to them. And Sarah has bright purple hair. You can see a photo of her and I and her hair. I'll link my photo album in the show notes. And I will link her podcast so you can check it out. And I'm going to have her as a guest host at some point on We Are Libertarians, because very, very well spoken, very positive, very informed. And Lord knows we need more women on We Are Libertarians and in the libertarian movement. And looking forward to having that happen in the future. But in the meantime, you can get a sense of what I mean. Here is my conversation with Sarah Wagner. All right.
We're about to do platform. That's Sarah, much more fun.
No. Listen, Sarah, I have two rules. No platform. No, three rules. No platform, no bylaws, no Bittner.
Oh, no business.
Here's the thing. I'm with Sarah Brady Wagner. She is the host of what podcast?
We are...
We Are Libertarians. Did I get...
No.
I've been replaced speaking on my own show.
The host of Speaking of Liberty.
Okay, Speaking of Liberty. And it, you're based out of where?
North Carolina.
All right. So you are with the North Carolina Libertarian Party.
Mm-hmm.
And you sent me a note. You sent me a note how many months ago?
Oh, at this point, it was probably 7 or 8 months ago when you did a guest spot on Jen Gray's Leading Liberty podcast.
Right. About podcasting.
And about how you can use it as an outreach mechanism both for your party. And what was really helpful was the parts where you just went over the highlights of how to kind of sell the idea to your executive committee.
Right. And what were those points? Because I've totally forgotten.
So one of the most useful things is being able to give the candidates some sort of media training. So it's a friendly environment. You're someone who's not actively looking to give them gotcha questions, but you can kind of help them to work out the kinks in their statements and get them some really good sound bites that they can use for media.
And they bought that.
They did. They liked it. So, you know, I had to kind of give them the idea that this is a problem that we can fix really easily with this one cool new tool.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just give me that little bit of startup money so I could buy equipment.
Yeah, because people think podcasting is free, but it's not even remotely free, is it?
No, and I've worked on podcasts in the past that, you know, we use cheaper equipment or whatever is available. I actually first did a podcast when I was like 13, because when it just came out. And so the sound quality is really important to me. Yeah. If I'm going to put something out, I know you can easily put something out that is filled with, you know, background noise, and you can have... it's really hard to listen to in a car.
The blue snowball in the middle of the table with 10 people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of stuff in the car, and so that's what I've got as in mind, is like, I don't want that atmosphere around
right.
me.
So you end up selling the idea to your executive committee.
Yes, and then I had to convince my husband to help me with it.
All right, and how did? And was he helpful?
He was. He helped with the sound engineering. And
is there anything you'd like to say bad about your... No, dang it, she saw him.
Sorry, he just came by to grab my bag.
I was going to say, try and trick her into saying something nice or mean. So you sell, and you were telling me, I wanted to record this with you because you were telling me some incredible facts about the effect of that podcast on your political efforts in your local state.
So one of the main ways that I was able to sell this is like a short-term thing we need to do now was pointing out that we had such a great influx of interest in being a candidate. And that's something I've heard mirrored from the other political directors all over the country, is there's a lot of interest, especially coming off of the wave of 2016, in running.
Right.
And though, so we were getting interest through a like a Google form that I had set up, and we'd put out on all of our social media, hey, if you're interested, give me your information, we'll get in contact. But when I was starting to roll through and get in contact with these, and National would send us some that contacted them, the quickest thing that was apparent was, like, they all have the same question.
Right.
And none of them know what the nuts and bolts of, like, what do I actually do to follow through with this?
Right.
So it was getting really frustrating, and, like, I have a full-time job already.
Right.
I actually take care of kids, so it was like, you're an adult, you should be able to handle this.
When I was the executive director of the state part of Indiana, and it was babysitting. And yeah, a lot of what I created in terms of, I think the LibertarianTrainingCenter.com is probably still up there, and most of the guides and videos and all the stuff that was up there was basically created because I was tired of answering the same question over and over and over. And so I think podcasting is a great way to kind of shortcut that and go, hey, I've answered this in depth here. You've taken the 15 minutes one time and multiplied that by the hundreds of other times that you would normally have to say that.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it took. You know, once we actually got it together as a finished product, there was 15 minutes of just nuts and bolts. You find this form and you take it to this place and you have it filled out with this information. Right. And then I paired that with...
So that's Jess Mears, who was on the Porkfest episode, with the loudest cart known to human beings. It was right into the media center. Yes, please reset where you were, what you were saying.
So the... Oh, see, now I'm trying to remember where I was.
Basically, it's cutting down on all those conversations.
Yeah, so it was 15 minutes of explaining, you know, I literally made a bulleted list of, I think it was 12 steps to get all of your forms. I put them in the show notes, included hyperlinks to print out the forms that you could fill them out and where to take them. Right. And then I paired that with a 15-minute edited interview with my, like, leading candidate who's doing fantastically and is almost outraised his main opponent, and then... other drama happened. The Democrat Party in his district noticed how close he was getting,
right,
and dumped $20,000 extra dollars on his opponent.
Right.
So, you know, that's a successful campaign, and that wanted to give them that perspective, because it also is a much easier way to get the realities of running a campaign through two candidates.
Right.
It's things that kind of come off mean for a political director to just say directly, like, you know that I'm not going to be running your campaign right.
Right.
Or you're going to be responsible for finding the people who are going to be part of your campaign team.
The other good thing about podcasting is that people learn it because it's passive listening.
Yeah.
So they're learning while they're, you know, mowing the grass, or, you know, I like to listen to podcasts while playing, like, a game on my phone. So my eyes and hands are maybe occupied, but my brain is engaged in something else. And so that's really when you learn very well. I mean, what kind of feedback have you had from your listeners in terms of the effectiveness of the podcast?
Well, the first thing that I got as feedback was just candidates coming up to me who had managed to file. We only have a 2-week filing period, so I put it out at the beginning of the filing period. Episode 1 was how to run for office as a libertarian. And a few weeks later, when we were starting to get more of our, like, county conventions together and was going around and talking to candidates, so many of them just said, thank you so much. This was exactly what I needed. I just needed to be able to listen to it. And if I had questions, like, I could just really quickly go back.
Right.
And they appreciated that it was in a way that they didn't have to keep coming back and asking questions to a person. Because sometimes that makes you feel really dumb when you're like, I know you explained this to me already.
But right.
It's nice to just have it in a format that you can carry around in your pocket.
Right.
And we've continued it since then and tried to incorporate more material that would be useful to both candidates and focusing on issues within North Carolina.
And I would say that if you're not in North Carolina, it's probably a podcast that people outside of your state could get benefit from.
It is. So we have 4 episodes available right now. I just found another sound engineer who's going to help us get it kind of rebooted. But we try to do topics that would be interesting even if you don't live in our state.
Right.
North Carolina is a big state. On gerrymandering has been a major issue that we've got a lot of national attention for.
Right.
I actually have an extended interview with David Lewis, who is the representative from North Carolina, who's most famous for saying, my job as the chairman of the redistricting committee is to make sure that we draw a map that will elect 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats, only because I believe it is not possible to draw a map that will elect 11 Republicans and 2 Democrats.
Right. Okay.
So we have one going through that whole issue and talking with him.
And this has helped with candidate recruitment, too, hasn't it?
It has. You know, it gives people a outlet to look at the state party and know we're actually doing something.
Right.
And it gives you more of a professional, I don't know, image as far right. as the public goes. And it makes people go, hey, you know what? This is a party that I could actually run for.
Right.
And they feel like there's someone to reach out to. And they know who I am already. They've already heard my voice.
Right.
That goes a long way.
It's very personal.
It is.
Right.
You know, people feel like they know you because you've been in their car talking to them all the time.
It's a weird phenomenon. People you don't know are like, thanks, man. You're like a really cool guy. I'm like, I guess. Not. Yeah, thanks.
Glad you think so.
What's your name again? So that's very cool. And I'm glad that it has helped with your candidate recruitment. And I'm glad that you got benefit out of it. If you want to listen to those podcasts that I did originally, they are on the Chris Spangle Show feed. I think they're also in the We Are Libertarians feed, but I know they're more easily accessible on the Chris Spangle Show, along with a few other podcasts about podcasting. Once again, I will eventually start podcasting on platforms and actually do the teaching people how to do this on a broader scale and more engaging way. But I'm really glad that you got something out of it and that it really helped your efforts in building the libertarian movement.
Yeah, and now I've gotten to share that experience with the other states, and hopefully we'll see a lot more podcasts come out of that.
Yeah, I'd love that. And if you have one, please hit us up. We'll share it. We'll put it on our libertarianpodcast.com website. Sarah, I would love to have you back on We Are Libertarians sometime as well, too.
Well, we'll definitely have to set that up.
She's very well spoken. She's my girl Friday over here. She's impressed too, I can tell.
Well, so. I appreciate that.
And you have the best hair I've ever seen in my life.
My husband helps me do it. We've had to like fine tune the color. It's been great.
It's purple, but it's not like what color would you say it is?
It's a combination of purple and pink.
Okay.
It's like orchid or fuchsia.
Okay. If you're okay, maybe we'll take a photo and post it on our Instagram.
Yes, yeah. That would be perfectly fine.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Thanks for joining us. And then again, where do people find the podcast?
It is Speaking of Liberty. It can be found at the LPNC website, lpnc.org/speakingofliberty.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much.
Okay. So you heard us sitting around a room and we were talking about whether or not we were going to get Arvin Vohra to come over and talk to us. Did we? It's a cliffhanger. I'm doing a cliffhanger here. I could make this podcast one podcast at about 3.5 hours, or I could make it 2 episodes, part 1 and part 2. So what I'm going to do is make it a 2-parter. So you can hear if we talk to Arvin Vohra, although if you look at your feed, you realize we did. And we also ended up talking to TJ Roberts of Liberty Hangout, and it kind of became the reconciliation episode where we kind of talked to the people that, you know, we mock. I mean, I mock. I have arguments with and say things that, you know, it's like I said it to their face in the interview, but I asked them very tough questions about their reputations. So be sure to tune into the next episode to hear that. Also a really funny story about something that happened as I was flying back home. So please tune in to the next episode of We Are Libertarians, and please don't forget to share. I want to thank all of our patrons that helped send me to this event. Several specific patrons really helped offset the cost of these trips. One who shall remain nameless, and Todd Singer, especially, Jason Doolittle, Craig DaCosta, you guys rock, also Brandon Luke, and Christy Avery. So, you know, it's amazing to me and humbling that the people who are very strong financial supporters at the $100 subscriber level also will help offset some of these trips. And it's made it completely possible to do. Where I thought it was totally impossible that I could travel and cover events for our listeners and those patrons and all of our Patreon subscribers help made these 2 trips that I've done the last couple weeks possible. And if you enjoyed the content, then please, by all means, sign up at Patreon. That helps offset the cost of the trips. I'd like to bring along other We Are Libertarians contributors to some of these events, so it's not just me going. And, you know, then there's also some costs like, you know, software to help with the audio because sometimes it's all funky. You know, so traveling does end up, as you know, incurring extra costs. So we offset all of that on Patreon. So if you're getting something out of the Pork Fest trip, and the content that came out of that. If you're getting something out of the Libertarian Party convention podcasts and the conversations that I'm having at these events and the updates, I was able to live tweet and live blog, essentially, the National Libertarian Convention chairs debate and the vote, and give thoughts that really nobody else. It was Matt Welch and I, Matt Welch of Reason, and I were tweeting out analysis of the chairs debate. So you guys are helping create a media outlet that is desperately needed by the libertarian movement. You know, I have really had a great time going to these two events, and it's given me a renewed confidence, to be honest, in We Are Libertarians and what we're doing, because we're doing something different. I love all of my fellow podcasters, and you know, it's really cool to see each of these different podcasts do things in a different way. And you know, for instance, Mark Claire was at both events, and Mark was just knocking out interviews left and right with a ton of important people at these events. And so as I'm watching him do that on Sunday, I'm like, I mean, he's got it covered because we have a lot of shared audience. So I'm going to let him do that and talk to those people. And then I'm going to just talk to some delegates and see what the general feel is, because I really want to give you a sense of what these events are like. And, you know, so if you want to make the decision to go, then you kind of have an idea. And I will be honest, it has really helped on the business end of We Are Libertarians. I've made a ton of connections with new people. Hopefully we have a ton of new listeners from the National Libertarian Convention. We handed out a ton of cards and free books, and we were able to, you know, Porkfest, I talked to several people who were interested in advertising. So it's just been great in making connections that will help with future content, future growth for We Are Libertarians, for building the community around this podcast that helps enrich your experience as a libertarian, because you're making friends as you get involved in our Discord and our Facebook group at wearelibertarians.com. You know, as we grow this podcast, you grow your friend circle. So it's really important to become a Patreon subscriber, because I am putting all of that to these kind of adventures and everything that just makes this go. And so I just really thank everybody who is a Patreon subscriber. If you're thinking about doing it, please, I would really think long and hard, and trust me, it is very uncomfortable to ask people to take the money that they worked hard for and give it towards your efforts. But I'm so passionate about doing this. I'm so passionate about the content that I bring you. I'm so passionate about the friend group that has sprung up. I mean, you know, 20 people that listen to We Are Libertarians from around the country were kind of hanging out this weekend. And it's as a result of, you know, people that contribute on Patreon, quite frankly, because if I didn't have our patron support, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast anymore, because it's gotten so big. We're, you know, third or fourth largest podcast behind Tom Woods and Jason Stapleton. And I imagine that Dave Smith has now passed us. You know, and so we're a pretty big podcast at this point, and there are a lot of costs that go with that. And so if it weren't for you guys, I wouldn't be able to do this. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for being a Patreon subscriber, for being a listener, for being a member of our Discord and Facebook group, for emailing me, for just even sharing stuff on the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you know, just really a great community, and I have loved every second of this weekend getting to hang out with our listeners, and I hope that, you know, next time we go to an event, I would love for you to come and say hi. Don't be like Mike McFarland, who was creep-shotting me for an hour before he finally came up and said hi. Don't be afraid to approach me. My next trip is, I actually talked work into sending me to Podcast Movement, because my day job and this are very much the same skill set, very much the same tools. I am the web director for a radio show, so it's pretty much the same as building an online podcasting brand. So I'm very excited to go to Podcast Movement in the next couple weeks in Philadelphia. And I don't know that I'll do a We Are Libertarian show, but you may check in on the Chris Spangle show feed. I'm sure that I might do one of these little travel episodes for that and give you some thoughts on the Podcast Movement convention. If you're interested, like Sarah, in starting a podcast, like I said, the Chris Spangle show feed has a ton of content. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you to Paul Copeland for hauling a lot of promotional material down for us, and to Kristen for being my basically my assistant. She wrangled me, as you heard. So tune in to the next episode where we are going to continue our conversation about the convention. We're going to talk to a couple other people, including TJ and TJ from Liberty Hangout and Arvin and Travis Irvine, and a couple funny stories. So tune in to the next episode of We Are Libertarians. Thank you for listening.